This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Okay, you can be honest with me. You love podcasts. In fact, you might be listening to this show via podcast right now. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I love podcasts as well. I listen to them all the time. My Spotify yearly data tells me that I listen to like thousands of hours of podcasts in a year. I love me some podcasts. So I'm always telling you about the great roster of AMI audio podcasts we have now and some of the ones that I really enjoy. And one of them includes the one hosted by our next guest. And it's called Into You, a program about dating and relationships hosted by Fern Lullum. A new episode is dropping today on all your major podcasting platforms. Fern is also a YouTube personality and a regular contributor to our friends over at Kelly & Company. And she joins us this morning to talk a little bit more about the show. Hey, Fern, it's been a minute since you and I have had a chance to connect. It's been about 4 years. So nice to chat with you once again today.
Dave, always a pleasure.
So let's just start with sort of the broad strokes. What is it that you're trying to look at inside this podcast? What are the angles on relationships and dating that you're trying to flesh out?
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to say that dating is relevant to everyone, whether you're disabled or not. And so I look at all aspects of dating and relationships, but I look at the psychology behind it, the behavioral effects of relationships. Why do we do what we do and all of that good stuff? So really, there's a lot of bad advice out there when it comes to dating and relationships. So I try to give you the advice that I always wanted when I was trying to navigate the tricky world of dating and relationships.
Yeah, a lot of it is really usable stuff. I know one of the promotions that we run on the network a lot is about a modern concept called ghosting. I guess ghosting's been around forever, but it feels a lot more prominent inside the modern landscape when a lot of texting is occurring to make dating happen. So it definitely changes the way in which people are connecting, or in that case, disconnecting from one another. And Fern, we read about relationships a lot. We also see them depicted on screen, but it's a really limited scope in regards to a relationship perspective. So could a lack of representation be the reason why dating can be so difficult in our society?
Absolutely. I think this episode that is coming out today, in fact, is about dating with a disability. And I speak to Liz Mazur, who is a psychologist and researcher in the field of dating with disability. And that's exactly what she said, Dave. She said, we don't grow up learning that disabled people want all of the same things in terms of dating and relationships that everyone else wants. You know, attractiveness is important, sexuality is important, all of those things. And so that is a huge factor in why it is harder if you have a disability to go into dating.
Fern, I've got a couple pandemic-related questions for you, but I want to start with your experience as a podcast producer now. What's it been like making content during the pandemic?
To be honest, it's been amazing. I really enjoy what I do. And the beauty of doing it in the pandemic is that I can talk to a broad range of people. Although obviously I can't interview people face to face in real time and them sat across from me, I can use, you know, all kinds of video chat technology that we're lucky enough to have these days to talk to people from anywhere in the world. And I think that's great because it just gives this diversity that I can talk to men, I can talk to women geographically, I can reach all areas. And it just shows the broad scope of experiences that we share when it comes to dating and relationships, that everyone can really relate to each other when it comes to this stuff.
That's such a good point. It's something that I think a lot of people have realized, the opening of doors, both in terms of the personal life and the professional life. All of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I don't need to make a trip down to Texas to see my cousin. We can connect via video chat. But Fern, I'm curious how that digital space and the pandemic space has impacted dating for better or worse. And I'll put some disclosure on this. I'm someone who's single, and obviously there's been no dating for the last 14 months because it's kind of like, what would the logical end point to this be if we can never actually get together in person?
Well, you say there's been no dating, but of course, Dave, there is still online dating. And we talk about digital platforms. Let's do some video chats. Let's do some texting and talking and getting to know each other. And the great thing that's come out of that is what people are now calling slow dating. But basically, that just means I'm having to actually get to know you a little bit before we meet up, because we're not allowed to meet up. So we're actually going to have to chat about what we like and what we don't like before we get together, which actually I think is a great thing. Slow burn relationships are for the win. I have to say I'm a huge advocate of that. I think if you get to know each other, you build up that suspense, that anticipation, the first date's going to be even more special when it actually happens.
Is there a flip side to that, though? Is there the possibility that you end up building up something for, you know, 6 months or 7 months, and then all of a sudden you meet somebody and it ends up being a little bit of a disappointment? Does that actually maybe lead to a bigger crash when you've already kind of invested in that deep, deep personal connection, and then maybe you get together and there's no attraction, there's no chemistry?
There's always that risk. And of course, there's always the risk that people aren't telling you the whole truth, or as we all can fall victim to sometimes, we always like to try and put our best foot forward online, right? We try to be the best versions of ourselves. And so, of course, yeah, you can be disappointed. I think one thing to mitigate that, though, is what I said, the video calls, the phone calls. When you actually hear or see that human being, it's a lot easier to get a real sense and a feel for that person, even if you can't physically be in the same room as each other, than it is to just type and write messages. You're going to get to know that person better as an actual individual.
Fern, I want to rely on your experience here and pick your brain a bit to get some maybe dating advice for those who are getting excited as the pandemic at least may be beginning to come to a bit of an end, or at least we can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So what are some dating tips you might have for a first date if we can ever leave the house again? What should we not do on a first date?
What should you not do? I mean, I think one of the biggest things is if something goes wrong, and this is actually something that Liz mentions in this podcast that is coming out today, don't freak out about it. We are all humans. We all have accidents. We all make mistakes. I went on my first date, which some people would say complete disaster. I went to an Italian restaurant and we had spaghetti. So that was an accident waiting to happen. I'm blind, Dave. Like, I can't see. I'm going to get spaghetti sauce all around my face. But the key to this is laugh at yourself. That makes you so attractive to someone. And also, the other thing I would say is people put a lot of scope on instant chemistry. You have to have this amazing fireworks show, because we've seen that in fairy tales, in rom-coms, all of our lives. And what I would say is be a little bit more open-minded. Give someone a chance, because sometimes that chemistry can grow over time, and actually that can be more satisfying and fulfilling in the long run.
Fern, you mentioned the idea where disability can intersect in dating, and sometimes it's something fun like spaghetti, but sometimes it can be a little more intense to that. So where do you stand on the appropriate point to disclose disability? Should it be outright on maybe an online dating profile? Should it be in the first interaction, the first date? What do you think about disability disclosure and the appropriate time to do it?
It's such a hard one. That is the million-dollar question, isn't it, Dave? And it's something that I put to Liz, who has researched disability, and she said even she didn't get a satisfactory answer. I think it definitely comes down to the individual and what you feel the most comfortable with. Personally, I reached a compromise where I wouldn't tell people straight away in my profile from the first thing that I wanted them to see, but equally I wanted them to know before I went on a first date, because I didn't tell them for a long time and there was kind of all kinds of disasters because of that. So I would tell them over text, I would tell them in messages, in a fun, upbeat, flirtatious way. I'd say something like, oh, by the way, I can't see very well, so you're going to have to hold my hand, or something like that, to make it fun and flirtatious. Allow them to ask me questions about it. Get that elephant out of the room so you can just breathe a sigh of relief and enjoy that first date without panicking.
Yeah, I remember on one online dating profile that I had many moons ago, I put what's under the question, what's the first thing people notice about you? I put, I'm an albino, and then I'm blunt. Which at that point, like, it discloses it, and then it's up to them if they want to ask questions or if they want to do their own research. They can learn a little bit more about it, but I like to be upfront about it, because certainly somebody who would see me walk into a room would be like, yeah, that guy's tall, he's also very, very pale. And his hair is very, very white. So, Fern, I want to stick here with picking your brain about a little bit more advice, because certainly dating can be a frustrating experience. There can be a lot of rejection that goes along with it. What advice do you have for folks who want to stick with it and stay at it?
Yeah, again, that's such a, you know, a question I ask over and over again on my podcast. How do you persevere? I think one of the best answers I got was from Evan Mark Katz, who's a dating coach. And he said, what you need to remember is not to take it too personally. So he used the analogy of, if you're going shopping for shoes, yes, you knew me very well, you knew how to speak my language, you wouldn't get upset if the shoe didn't fit the first time. You just move on to the next pair of shoes. Oh, didn't fit? Move on to the next pair of shoes. And it's got to kind of be like that with dating. Don't expect that the first person you go out with is going to be the one. They're probably not. That's not a bad thing. You are practicing. You are learning from your mistakes. You're developing, and you will find that person. So you've just got to keep at it until you find the right one for you.
So, Fern, you mentioned a new episode of Into You drops today. What can we expect from this episode?
So, as I mentioned, it's all around the dynamics behind dating with a disability. I speak to a couple who, Kelsey, has a limb difference, so she was born with only one hand, and her partner is non-disabled. So I speak to him about, what was that like? Did you feel guilty if you had any doubts about disability and dating someone like Kelsey? How did that feel from your side, from a non-disabled point of view? And then I speak to Liz Mazur, who, like I said, has done a lot of research in this area. And I talk to her about things like, is one sex affected more by dating and disability? How can we make it more normalized? How can we re-enter the mainstream? And what can we do just to make people feel more comfortable about dating someone with disability, so that there isn't such a stigma around it?
Mm-hmm. Hey, Fern, I really enjoy the podcast. It was so nice to chat with you once again. Keep up all the excellent work, and I always catch you on that Kelly and Company appearances as well. So all the best to you. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Same to you.
That's Fern Lellum, the host of the Into You podcast. The new episode of the show drops today, and you can find it on all major podcast platforms, including Apple and Google and Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. And as I always tell you, the one that I enjoy the most is Spotify, because I just like the user experience on the platform. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.